Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 68th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. This week, we are reviewing episode 8 of season 2. Let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Avatar, and no, it's not Avatar the Last Airbender, and no, it's not Avatar that Blue Smurfs movie, or Blue Aliens, or Cat People, whatever the hell that was from James Cameron. Original air date is May 9th, 1994. Title card, honestly, is a mess. It's a yellow wall, like the inside of a pyramid, covered in hieroglyphs, but the hieroglyphs are outlined in black, which makes the thin title letters get lost in all that yellow and black. So it's really hard to read. I don't like this one. This is probably the first title card I'm not a fan of. Well, actually, no, second. I believe there was one that was just like a cheap outline of Batman that looked really lame. Looked like they didn't try. So this is not one of my favorites, though. We start off with a young boy in the desert of Turkey. Okay, it's in Egypt, but just go with it, because I really, really want to play a certain song at the end, and I have to make it connect to the show somehow. So anyways, this young boy in Turkey, running through an expedition, crew, convoy? He's running through a convoy of people. He reaches a young man who looks very familiar. The boy gives the guy a lamp, and then the guy gives the kid his explorer's hat. The man goes down a huge hole in the ground, and when he lights up the lamp, he finds Egyptian artifacts. Oops, I'm sorry, I meant Turkish artifacts, because it's in Turkey, where you would be able to find a certain city that you'll know the name of at the end with the song I'll play. The man sees a glowing cave, and then suddenly, we're outside. The rope he was lowered with starts being pulled. The convoy of men pull back, but the rope is burned off. The men see this, and they all run away, leaving the little boy standing there in confusion. We cut to present-day Gotham, where at the museum, Bruce Wayne has donated some Turkish-Egyptian artifacts. He is there joined by Lucius Fox. Lucius points out how there's like some scroll there that's the oldest scroll in Egyptian history or something. And Bruce is acting all dumb because he's all like, "Hey, I only did it because I can deduct it from my taxes. Oh, I have to leave to go bang some women now. I'm Bruce Wayne." Alright, so it's night now. Of course, somebody is breaking into the museum because, yeah, okay, we brought in all these ancient artifacts in Gotham City. Of course somebody's going to break in. The dude looks like the Phantasm from the Mask of the Phantasm movie. He looks pretty damn cool. He's wearing all black with a purple hood that covers his face. And seriously, he looks like the Phantasm except without that mask, that like skeleton-like mask and a hood instead. It looks pretty cool. The hooded figure steals the scroll and runs into Batman. Batman then soundly ties up the criminal. He removes the hood, and it's Ubu, Ra's al Ghul's assistant. Ra's al Ghul walks in at that moment, and he surprises Batman with the old, "I'm throwing a stick at you and hope you catch it, but no, it's not a stick, it's a deadly cobra," routine. Yeah, you know the one. So the cobra bites Batman, and Batman collapses as Ra's and Ubu leave. Luckily, Batman has some anti-cobra venom in his belt. Or like, I don't know, I was going to say pills, but they're not pills. He has this little flask that he breaks and he drinks the liquid. Anyways, he drinks it and then he passes out. Batman is now in the Batcave, so I guess he woke up before security found him lying on the floor. It was probably just a few minutes later. Batman finds out that the snake that bit him was an Egyptian cobra. And since the scroll Ra's stole is also from Egypt, Batman decides to fly to Spain. Yeah, okay, it'll make sense in a while. Batman goes to Gibraltar, I believe it's pronounced, which is located in Spain. He flies there on the Sea Duck from Tailspin, apparently. He arrives and he takes a cab to some castle, and immediately beats the crap out of the guards. I should mention that we get some awesome attire from Bruce Wayne throughout this episode. First at the museum, that we saw him earlier, he's wearing that dark gray suit he wore when he fought that cactus monster in the House and Garden episode. Then when he arrives here, he's wearing like this awesome tan and white suit, like he's in Casablanca or something, and he's wearing like the hat, the fedora, it looks awesome. Anyway, Bruce beats up the guards, and then Talia al Ghul shows up. We're inside the castle now, and Talia is shocked. She is shocked to learn that her father is alive, having been thought dead from when we last saw him, which was falling into a Lazarus pit. Talia can't believe it because her father would have let her know that he's alive. Talia tells Bruce that the scroll is part of a map that will help him find the tomb of an ancient queen named Toth Khepera. Bruce asks for Talia's help in finding Rosh, and she wonders why Bruce and Rosh are always making her choose between each one. He tells her he doesn't know how Rosh thinks, but he knows that they agree on their feelings toward her. She hugs him, and we cut to Talia flying a plane. I can only assume Talia and Bruce are hungover and sleepy since they probably spent the night drinking and having passionate sex. They fly to Cairo, where they walk the street markets and walk into a shop. The shop owner tries to sell them some cheap wares that he's trying to pass off as authentic artifacts, but they dismiss him and he leaves his own store for some reason and leaves them alone inside. Bruce and Talia are both wearing puffy pants, like those weird director pants that have bumps on the side of the thighs. I just think it looks cool. They go into the back of the store, and Bruce uses some sort of sonic device to find the secret passageway, but then the store owner and some thugs show up to stop them. Bruce and Talia beat up the thugs. Talia and Bruce go into the secret passageway. They find a translation of the scroll, but are caught by Ra's al Ghul and Ubu. Ra's blames Talia for letting him die in the pit, but she says she only tried to save the man she loves. Then Bruce asks Ra's al Ghul a question.
You've got a serious priority problem, Ra's. What can be in that tomb that's more valuable than the love of your daughter?
Power, detective.
The power once held by almighty Thoth Khepera, queen of two continents.
You surprise me, Ra's. The world's oldest chauvinist chasing after a woman.
Oh, Ra's, you're 600 years old. Don't you know that women will destroy your very soul? They'll make you feel like you spend eternity eating shards of broken glass, or got 100,000 paper cuts on your face. It makes you feel like you got your intestines ripped out with a fork when you know they're going out with another man. It feels like you slammed your fingers on the door again and again and again and again and again. Ra's explains this isn't some woman, but it's a goddess that can control the force of life and death. Bruce says this sounds like a bad Saturday morning cereal, and Ra's gets angry at this and traps Bruce and Talia in a glass cage. Ra's leaves, but before he does, he disses Talia pretty bad.
Farewell, Talia. It is said that one finds immortality in one's offspring. Alas, I know that to be a lie.
Damn, dude, that's cold. So I guess some time has passed, and Talia has just resigned herself to death after that burn. She's like, oh, the oxygen is going to run out. We're just going to die. I'm glad I'm going to die with you, Bruce. Bruce rips out cloth from his pocket and puts it in Talia's ears and then in his own. He uses that sonic device from earlier to shatter the glass cage. Bruce then says that he has to stop Ra's no matter what, and Talia agrees to help. Bruce changes into the Batman costume, but sadly is not the shirtless beefcake Batman like we saw last time these two were in the desert. Even Talia is not wearing that, sexy outfit she wore where it was, showing her midriff with the long skirt. But either way, he didn't even have puffy pants. We should have gotten Batman with puffy pants. That would have been cool. Batman and Talia show up to an excavation site, and Talia wonders how Batman knew where to find Ra's. Batman becomes a braggy teenager trying to impress the girl that he likes. He's all like, I saw the scroll and memorized it because I'm so smart. Dude, she's already in love with you, right? Think you can stop showing off now. Batman and Talia go inside the hole, and we see a pair of puffy pant legs show up, but we don't see who it is. Batman and Talia find a sarcophagus inside, and they are once again caught by Ra's. So Ra's shows the puffy pants we saw earlier, which, okay, Ra's, I call him Ra's. I know now it's pronounced Ra's, but in this cartoon he's called Ra's. So Ra's is dressed like a weird pirate. He's wearing the puffy white t-shirt from Seinfeld and the puffy pants. I don't know, he looks like a discount Fabio from the romance novels. Ubu opens up the coffin and inside are various scrolls. Ra's grabs one and it falls apart, so of course he handles the rest carefully, right? Nope, instead he starts grabbing them and tossing them around as they turn into dust and he yells angrily. Batman and Talia try to escape, but they're chased by Ubu and some thugs. Which are actually the thugs we saw earlier at the store, but just the two thugs, the store owner's not with them. Batman drops a giant statue on the thugs, killing them, apparently. Talia then smashes a pot over Ubu's head, but it doesn't do anything. So then Batman just gets angry and beats the ever-loving crap out of him for the next 10 minutes. Ra's finds a switch that makes the sarcophagus open and reveal a secret room underneath. The room has what seems to be a Lazarus pit, and when Ra's gets near, a woman appears from it. This is Thor Kempora, or whatever her name is, and Ra's says that he has been searching for her for over 500 years and wants to learn her secrets. She tells him to join her and he can know everything. Ra's walks over to the woman and starts making out with her. I should mention that she looks like a typical like hot Turkish slash Egyptian woman in one of those slutty Cleopatra costumes you see on Halloween. They start making out and then she turns into like this skeleton corpse woman, like if she was a female version of the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt. Batman and Talia find the hidden room and they see that Ra's is getting the life sucked out of him, literally. Because that's what a woman will do to you. She will let you give her all you can and then make you feel like you got your blood sucked out by leeches. Like they shoved an ice pick under a toenail or two. Like you just cleaned all the bathrooms in Grand Central Station with your tongue. Like you jumped naked on a huge pile of thumbtacks. Stuck your nostrils together with crazy glue. Like you dove into a pool full of double-edged razor swords. Anyways. Batman attacks Yom Kippur, and Talia rescues Ra's, who is now a decrepit old man. Commodore 64, or whatever her name is, attacks with these slime monsters that rise out of the pit. Okay, I'm calling a timeout. I know Batman has fought Clayface before, and he's seen Ra's die and come back to life. But, okay, whatever, that's, like, scientific, at least based on this world science. Like, with the weird science they have here, he's seen a guy turn himself into a giant bat. He's seen a guy become like a weird shape-shifting monster. But this is the like a mystical 1,000-year-old mummy that's come to life, drained the life force from a living being right in front of him, and has like rising slime monsters from a pit. But Batman doesn't seem affected by any of this. As a matter of fact, he had more of a reaction when he found out that Scarface's dummy was... when he found out that Scarface was a dummy and not a person. Seriously, go back and see that episode. When he sees the dummy, he has this face like, oh my god. But he sees like this living mummy person thing and he's just like, whatever, I gotta kill it. So the slime monsters capture Talia, but Batman uses a sword he gets from the ground to save her. Talia grabs Ra's again and Batman uses one of his totally non-lethal but could probably blow up a building grenades from his belt. But it does nothing to stop Fur Fedora. Batman uses his legs to push down this enormous, like the size of a building statue, on top of her and kills her. The entire pyramid then starts collapsing and Batman runs out. Outside he finds Ubu and the thugs, which I guess survived having that huge statue dropped on them. And they all start running, but Ubu trips. Batman goes back and saves Ubu from being crushed to death by the collapsing pyramid. Todd Gamera is dead, so this makes Ra's al Ghul become young again. Batman ties up everybody, and he's taking them in horses to the city. Ra's apologizes to Talia for treating her like he did, and she gets like the goofiest smile on her face. He's like, what, really? She sees Ra's wrist tied up, and rides over to Batman. She asks what he will do to them, and Batman says he's gonna take them to the authorities. Talia pulls out a gun on Batman, damn it. This is like the third time she does this to you, Batman. She always betrays you for her dad. She's a beautiful woman that, just like all women, will do nothing but break you from the inside. She will rip your heart right out of your ribcage with her bare hands and throw it on the floor and stomp on it till you die. Oh, God, what's happening to me? I used to be happy when... Talia strands Batman in the middle of the desert and frees the prisoners. Ubu throws his water canteen at Batman before he leaves as a thank you for saving his life. Batman is left alone in the desert to die, I guess. The end. Alright, I tried to find some interesting after show notes for this, like some interesting trivia, but there's really nothing on there. So I guess we'll just move on to the Batcave archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Bat Cave Archives is the part of the show where we rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 68. If you'd like to see the complete list, join our Facebook group, look for I'm Batman the Podcast, and become a member. I post an update there every week. This episode is a fun episode. I'm not gonna lie. It's not the best Ra's al Ghul episode. He has really good ones. I really like when Ray shows up because they do some globetrotting whenever he's around, and I really like seeing episodes where Batman is out of Gotham City. I just think it's cool. You got some cool visuals. This is a fun episode. It has a lot of action. It has like a cool, like he said, it feels like a Saturday morning serial, which is, it's cool. That's what they were going for, that Indiana Jones vibe. I don't know. Let's look at the, we're 68 episodes in. The half point of that would be like 30-something. Okay, at number 35, we have the episode Tiger, Tiger, which is the episode where it's like an island of Dr. Moreau where Catwoman gets turned into a literal Catwoman. I think this episode is about par with that. Right underneath that, we have Be a Clown, the episode where Joker kidnaps the mayor's son. That's actually a really cool, creepy episode. I don't think this might be a lot better than that. Eternal Youth, Poison Ivy turning people into trees, or either her or that doctor, that redheaded doctor, who I still don't know who it is, but I don't know. Nothing to Fear, the Pretty Poison. I don't know. I don't think it belongs in the 30s. It's a good episode, but it's like I said, it's kind of hard. It's number 49. We have the Cat in the Claw Part 2. That was the conclusion to the Red Claw episode. I was kind of disappointed in that one. I thought it would be a lot better than it was. Right above it, we have Night of the Ninja, the episode with Kyodai Ken, who is a villain I really don't like. And I thought those episodes were kind of boring. I mean, it had some merit to it. Oh, right. Right above it, The Clock King. The only episode I regret ranking as high as I did. I can't stand The Clock King. He's a stupid villain. I seriously don't know. I guess I was just in a good mood that time, and I really ranked it higher than I should have. If I could go back and re-rank it, that's the one I would re-rank, but it's there. That's where it is. Is this episode better than that? Okay, the Clock King is a stupid villain. I don't like him. He's dumb. That whole, Batman can throw a punch in 2.5 seconds, and I'm like a 70-year-old man who could dodge him for some reason. It's kind of dumb, but it's still, it's a bit more interesting. It has that origin story, which is pretty cool, I guess, because originally, the Clock King is like this dumb villain who literally wears a giant clock mask, like a giant helmet that looks like a clock, and he has clock pajamas. I don't know, it's really weird, it's kind of dumb. So they're fine, they did a good job with remaking him for the series. I'm gonna rank this right underneath it. So our new number 48 will be Avatar. Alright everybody, thank you for listening. Remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to Captain_Marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are beloved. Except me. No one beloves me.
Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, now Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Do 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 do
was once New Amsterdam.
Why they changed it, I can't say.
You just liked it better that way.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Now Constantinople, been a long time gone. A Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Constantinople,
no, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Istanbul.